So, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Today we continue with the issue where we left off last time, and that is the issue of what are further things that are don'ts in a marital relationship. What should husband and wives not do in a relationship? First thing, this hadith, although it's a general hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said this in context of all the Muslim ummah, but it is very, very more applicable to husband and wife than talking about the general ummah. Rasulullah said, لا تحاسدوا ولا تناجشوا ولا تباغضوا ولا تدابروا ولا يبع بعضكم على بيع بعض وكونوا عباد الله إخوانا. المسلم أخو المسلم لا يظلمه ولا يخذله ولا يحقره. التقوى ها هنا, التقوى ها هنا, التقوى ها هنا. At the end of the hadith, Rasulullah used his index finger and the middle finger and he pointed towards his heart. He said, التقوى ها هنا, التقوى ها هنا, التقوى ها هنا. He said, taqwa resides in the heart. Because this is the place of all the taqwa, iman, khashya, fear of Allah, and the whole nine yards. And if you want to make it 10, so be it, no problem. Why? Because it doesn't stop at 9 yards. Taqwa keeps on going. You can keep increasing. But why did he use that at the end of the hadith? We find out from the beginning. All the things he said in this is starting with lam. And we learn in Arabic that lam is lam al-nafi and lam al-nahiyah. There's two types of lam. Lam and nafi is negation of a statement, of a positive statement, and it's negating that. Like if somebody asks you, did you do this? Okay. هل عملتك؟ You say, لَا مَا عملتك. No, I did not do that. So that is negation in that constant, in the nafi, negation of that constant. And then لَا is لَا النَّهِيَة. لَا النَّهِيَة means the lam or la of forbiddance. Don't do that. لا تأكل, don't eat, لا تشرب, don't drink right now. But afterwards in snack you can eat, don't worry about it. Don't pick up on your own, he said don't eat and drink. So now all the snack is left and they take it home today. But Allah Rasulullah is saying here, لا تحاسدوا. First number, first لا. Don't be jealous and envy of each other. And we take this always in terms of each other. Oh yeah, I don't want to be jealous, envy from my brother or sister in Islam. But what about your wife? اور یہ فلاں صاحب کی تو بیگم بڑی اچھی, ان کے کھانا بڑا اچھا بنا ہے, تیرا کھانا کیسا. This is حسد, حسد and jealousy. You are doing it to your wife and vice versa. I mean, کوئی ایک آدمی اس میں فرشتہ نہیں ہے, دونوں ہی مظلوم ہیں, دونوں ہی ظالم ہیں. Don't think that if I pick on one example does not mean you can't find another example. Yes. اور یہ ان کے میاں تو بڑے اچھے ہیں, وہ تو گروسری بھی کرتے ہیں, آپ میں تو سارا خود ہی ڈرائیو کرتی ہوں, خود ہی گروسری کرتی ہوں. حسد. What are you doing? You are putting poison in each other's minds. Chalo ji, ye mujhse to nafrat karti hai, uske khane ko bada pasand karti hai. Vice versa. Chalo ji, ye to mujhse to nafrat karte hai, unke khane ko bade pasand hai, to unke ghar mein baithkar karo. Abhi sahab log, by the way, all names here are fictitious. Okay, I'm not picking anybody's name. Kyunki maan lo ko Ali sahab baithe hain, kaisi aap ne mujhe ki pakad. Disclaimer number one, there is all names here are fictitious. Okay. So, you know, Aziz Haab ki khane mere pasand hai, unke ghar mein baitha rahe. Aur bil farz agar baith bhi gaye, itni jaldi kyun aa rahe? Unke bada pasand aa raha. This is how the dissension instigation starts. Shaitan, first thing comes in mind is hasad, jealousy. And Rasulullah is saying, la tahasadu. Don't do hasad in terms of each other's spouses. Don't compare one another even. Don't you dare even compare one another. You can mention indirectly, these are some good attributes in the wife, these are some good attributes in the husband, maybe it's better if we do this. But pinpointing, taking name of individuals within community, this is lethal. Lethal weapon 5. Not 1, 2, 3, 4. That's gone. Now we're in stage 5. Lethal weapon 5, why? Because right away Shaitan is going to convert in the mind, see, he doesn't like you, he likes her. See, she doesn't like you, she likes him. And this is the breeding ground, it's building. Now look at the next one. Every line that you look in this hadith, subhanAllah, is as if Rasulullah is sending the message so subtle, in such a nice way, that if a person thinks that what am I doing in my marriage? I'm doing everything wrong. I'm doing everything that I'm not supposed to do. That is in this hadith. So the first one said, لَا تَحَسَلُ. Don't be envious, don't be jealous. If you like some other wife or husband, that is fine. Don't like them because of what they are, but because of the attributes. And maybe you can mention, you know, some of those attributes to each other's spouses, husband or wife, either case. so that maybe that can be encouragement, motivation. But when you, and sometimes people do in all earnest desire, maybe they're not naive, but they do in all earnest desire that perhaps my spouse will become better. He or she would learn by if I mention this thing in terms of motivation, but it backfires. The niya was to motivate the person, encourage the person, but it backfired. Instead of motivating, now they have hasad with each other. And they'll go to bed at night thinking, she said this to me, he said this to me. He said, she said. And that's what it all starts. If you find the root problem for every marital relationship is, he said, she said, he said, she said. And Rasulullah is putting the first thing, the lid on the poison before it can even start. La tahasadu. Next thing he said, wala tamajashu. Suspicious. Don't be suspicious. This is the most dangerous thing. This is the biggest poison. In fact, this is the slow poison between the husband and wife relationship. Like slow poison in the sense that it is a silent killer, silent cancer. It is breeding and breeding and breeding. And before they even realize it's too long, because the explosion abruptly opens up, either in the action of throwing of sandals, or plates, or spoons, or forks, whatnot, or vice versa, in the slapping and beating that happens from the husband's side. And we'll talk about that too. So Allah, the Prophet is saying, "Wala tanajashu, do not instigate, do not spy, suspect, you know, one another. Don't think, oh, what did she really mean? You know, don't try to take a negative meaning out of each other's words." And that is why Rasulullah in his khutbah to nikah, you know, in his khutbah for nikah that he would go every time, and we use that masnoon ayah that you see all the imams, all the, you know, qadi that you see today in the dunya, that they recite that same ayah in the khutbah to nikah, which is in Surah Ahzab, which deals with this same issue, taking wrong meanings from people's words. He or she maybe didn't meant it that way, but being a husband and wife, rather than going there and asking for elaboration, I just presume, oh, she meant it this way, he meant it this way. But look what Allah is saying. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, ittaqullah wa qulu qawlan sadida. This is the ayah that the Rasulullah used in his du'a of, in his khutbah to nikah, and every imam today all over the world uses the same thing. This and another ayah. And what this, we listen to this ayah in the khutbah of nikah, we listen to this ayah in every nikah, every shadi we go to, but unfortunately we don't take lesson from it. What is Allah telling us? And why did the Rasulullah choose this ayah more than any other in the khutbah of nikah? Because nikah is the commemoration of the beginning of a new family nucleus. So Rasulullah is laying the pillar, foundation of a new family based on the pretext that, look, if you are sincere to one another, pure, mukhlis to each other, then you will always speak the truth and speak straightforward. You don't go around beating the bushes, whether it's bush 1, bush 2, bush 3. You don't go around that. You go straight to the point. قُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. Sadid comes from the root word of sad. Sad, sadul bad, which means closure. Meaning you say a word that is to the point, concise, straightforward, and it's so subtle that it just gets the grip of the attention of the person. And not that you go wishy-washy here, why this, or oh, I meant that, oh, I didn't really mean that, I meant this. No, just say a straight word. And at the same time, we should not have, oh, tanajashu, we should not have the understanding that we should instigate one another in the context of, oh, this was the meaning and that was the meaning. But also, Allah is not saying, ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, ittaqullah. Or you believe, fear Allah's mother. First commandment is fear Allah. And then he says, after that, Allah's mother, fear Allah and say a word straight to the point. What will Allah give you if you do that? يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. Subhanallah, what a beautiful ayah. Allah SWT is saying that if you, O husband and wife, fear Allah, keep always the fear of Allah paramount importance in front. It is the pivot, the fulcrum between a husband and wife relationship. تَقْوَى اللَّهِ. تَقْوَى اللَّهِ. If there is no taqwa, there is no marriage. Basically, it's for no marriage. It's just a game, playing games with each other. But if there is taqwa, then you have some reference point. Kisi cheez ka hawala to aap de sakte na. Agar taqwa hi aapne kho diya apne azwaj zindagi mein, to hawala kiska denge? Baap ka hawala, maa ka hawala, dadi ka, popo ka? They're all mortal people, they're not immortal. They're all creations, makhluq. Lekin hawala aisi cheez ka, aisi zaat ke dena hoga, jo khaliq hai, jo har cheez se bala tar, unche. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala. Khuda ta'ala. And we do that. No, like many times I've heard that. I mean, I know from our Pakistani culture that when husband and wife start fighting, so Khuda ka waste zaban band kar, band ho gayi. Khuda ka waste. When people really get it, really have it, so each other they'll say, they'll give the waste of Khuda or Allah, that you know, enough is enough, you said a lot, I said a lot, so it's time we just be quiet. Which means what? Even in that, there is a blessing in disguise. At least they acknowledge one another that there is some reference point that both are willing to listen. If they don't listen to his father or his mother or her mother, at least they can listen to what Allah is saying. Allah is saying, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, which is every Muslim husband wife, including that ayah. O you believe, fear Allah, ittaqullah. Wa qulu qawlan sadida, and say a word, state the point. What will you get in reward? Yuslih lakum, islahul a'mal, your a'mal, your affairs, your each other disputes and disagreements will become islah, automatically islah again. Insan ki islah sirf zaban se hoti hai. Basic, first thing. Zabani kharab ho, zabani corrupt ho. So islah to dur ki baat. Insan ki apni tazkiya bhi nahi hota. And that is what Allah Ta'ala is saying here. Yuslih lakum a'malakum. A blessing from Allah will come that he will try to bring the blessing in the marriage between husband and wife. If they are straight to the point and speak the truth. Truth is very essential. Never ever should there be any deception, deceit, or lie. Yuslih lakum a'malakum wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum. And Allah will give another prize, another reward if people are honestly dealing with each other straight to the point. Will forgive your sins. Wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum. And then Allah says, وَمَنْ يَتَ اللَّهُ رَسُولُهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَزِيمًا. That whoever obeys Allah and His Rasulullah, then they have certainly indeed been successful. Faz, fawz, fawz means your success, reaching the end zone, the goal. The next thing we see in the hadith, وَلَا تَبَاغَدُوا. So far we had two. لَا تَحَسَدُوا. Don't do hasad. لَا تَنَاجَسُوا. Don't spy one another. Don't instigate something with each other. وَلَا تَبَاغَدُوا. Don't get angry with one another. And this is something very, very, even I can confess to this, it's sometimes very hard at times that when you really get the urge, irritation, to just flip over or blow up, just let the other party have it. Let them have it in the face. Either case, whether it's husband or wife. Don't just think that one has foci on the other. Either way, sometimes the wives get twirly and they want to let the whole temper out. And sometimes the husbands want to let the temper out. Then there's a solution to this hadith also. لَا تَبَاغَدُوا. Don't have ghadab. Don't have anger. And then people say, but wait a second. Anger is not in my control. It just comes. Suddenly. Isn't that true? Yes, it is true. Because a sahabi came to Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, I can't control my anger. You said that don't, لَا تَغْدَبْ. Don't get angry. How? It just comes automatically. So then, look at the prophetic wisdom teaching of Rasulullah. He said to that sahabi, أتدري ما الغضب? Do you know what is anger? غضب, anger is the غلي of dam, the boiling of the blood in the shiryan, in the nervous system. والغضب من الشيطان. And the Rasulullah said that anger is from shaitan. Remember he said shaitan is the biggest enemy for any husband wife. No, don't worry about the next door neighbor. Don't worry about the person in the community. They're not your enemies. The biggest enemy for any couple is shaitan. And like we already said last time, the shaitan wants collateral damage. But before he can get a person to get to collateral damage, and we already know, what is collateral damage from shaitan? Alright, this should be up to Talaq, divorce, that's collateral damage from shaitan. But how can shaitan instigate the couple to reach that collateral damage? The tool or the catalyst, seedy jo hai, is ghadab, anger. Boiling. I'll say that word. Many couples you see that after they have gone through the whole tufan, the whole storm, they'll come to the imam, imam Saab, I'm very sorry, I regret for, you know, those three words just came out of my mind. Are you naive? Or are you thinking that the imam Astaghfirullah is foolish? Don't you know that you could control your tongue? Didn't you know at the time of that anger, you didn't become insane, excuse me, you just lost your nervous system. And that is why ghadab is forbidden. Because when a person reaches the nth degree of the boiling, even when we boil water on the stove, what happens? If you leave the stove on for a long time, what happens? Can somebody tell me? Evaporation, right? When you come back, oh, pani ka gaya. Men jag vill inte vara där. You left it too long. Rivalry. So if you prolong the anger and help the wrong, what's going to happen? Rivalry. Nej, jalous nahi. Through divorce. You get the message? You know, like they show those public service ads, you know. They break an egg on the street and it boils. They say, this is your brain. This is what drugs does to you. Kind of like that kind of ad that I give is, look, this is a bone, or this is a handi. This is water. You let it boil. Few minutes later, you come back, you won't find your handi back. All right, there's no water. All right, what was that water? That is each other's spouse. Each other. We can consider, husband can consider that the water is the wife. Wife can consider that water is husband. Why could they evaporate it? You let the anger roll on too long. And when it's evaporated, can you bring back that water? Tell me one person on the face of this earth who can bring back that boiled water back in that stove. I will give them $1,000,000. You can't. Similarly, you can't bring your wife back after you have boiled your brains out. Because this is from the Sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that you will have to have, that wife has to marry another person, like we say, halala. And then she can, why did Allah put such a big condition to stop this game playing? This is what the Arabs, the pagans were used to. Whenever they felt like, tell it off. Whenever they felt, oh, come down again, it's okay. And unfortunately, people today are beginning to play games. Jamalzi, talaga. Oh, I didn't mean really. Imam Shah, I really meant it. Oh, just can you make some leeway, some way out? I didn't mean three times. I meant one time. Too late, buddy. It's gone. Water's evaporated. You can't get it back from the ceiling. You can't scrape the vapors out. Too late. It's gone. Now you gotta suffer and wait so that you don't commit the same mistake with the second wife. No, I'm just joking. Because at least that's a warning. And that's what Allah SWT is saying. That the ghadab is from shaitan. So what did Rasulullah say to that sahabi? He said, ghadab min shaitan. So if any one of you get angry, yes, that is from the nature. You will not be accountable from Allah SWT on the actual institution of anger. That is within our, because he said that, it's the boiling of blood. That is from the test from Allah. But what you will be accountable, or what Rasulullah meant by don't get angry is, when you get angry, close your mouth and just cool yourself down. Because now if you say anything, do anything, you're going to regret it. And you're going to be accountable. If you say anything in the state of anger, you're accountable. That is what the hadith means. La taghdab. If you do anything, like movement of hand or leg, or you make some radical decision in that state of anger, that's where there is a hadith of Rasulullah about the qadi, judges. That la yabdi al qadi wa huwa ghadban. A qadi cannot judge between two people while he is in a state of anger. Khalas, there is no court. Court has to be dispersed. They can't judge. Why? Because ghadab, even a judge can become in a state of anger. What is Rasulullah saying? It's natural. It's from your human body functioning. You can ask any physician, they'll tell you how the blood functions and how the blood boils and things and happens. So what Rasulullah is saying, that anger itself, when it comes to you, that you're not accountable for. But what you are accountable for is how do you behave in that state of anger. And then there are steps and cure and remedy to remove that. First thing he said, if you get angry and you're standing, sit down. It's very natural. You experience this. If husband and wife are fighting in the house and they see that they're standing, any one of them standing, first of them should think, okay, what does Rasulullah say? Sit down. Okay, let me sit down. Then he says, recite A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem. Try to get the shaitan away. If that doesn't work, recite Ayatul Kursi. Try that. If that doesn't work, go make wudu with cold water, mind you, not hot water. Something may be cold water, not hot water. Because you already boiled it. You're going to have some hot water on the skin, it's going to boil it for it. He said, because the Rasulullah used the word barid, ma'un barid. That means he's giving some wisdom. That if you make wudu with hot water, you're putting, fuel to the fire. But you're going to use cold water. Thande paani se. Chahe bahar 0 degree centigrade ho. Thande paani se. Kyunki dandalaane shuru honge, yaar main gussa kyun kar raha hu. Dil insaan ka dimag badal jayega. Gusse se wo apne sardi ke baare mein soche, yaar is sardi se kaise bachao. Chala tha, naraaz ho gaye, ghadab kar gaye apne beard, lekin wo thanda ho gaya. Look at the prophetic teaching. They are gems and pearls from the hadith of Rasulullah. If we only understand and implement. I wish. Because so many marriages could have been saved if they just did wudu in the state of anger. Wallahu al-azim, brothers and sisters. I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hundreds of marriages on the face of this earth from the Muslim ummah could have just been saved by wudu. And what is wudu for us? We take it for granted, so casual, so easy. You say, really, Voodoo? I thought you're going to give me some antibiotics, some vaccination. No, no. The prophetic teaching is saying sometimes an aspirin can save a heart attack, what a heart surgeon may not be able to do. What is there? Allah is teaching the look. If you want a faqa, you want cure remedy, listen to the first early steps of prevention. And that is what Rasulullah is saying, that if they're standing, sit down, if they're sitting down, lie down, and then make wudu, recite Ayat al-Kursi, recite Fatiha, recite the Durood of Rasulullah, because this Durood has an effectivity of coolness. So in a state of anger, yes. And obviously, the word Ghadab over here also, meaning in the sense of you are accountable for the actions. You are accountable for the actions that start off with the issue, the first words that come out from anger. So now the person is being said that one, keep your mouth closed. That's what the Rasulullah said. Close your mouth at that moment. Because if you can just control the tongue and the state of anger, you can save yourself from the biggest fire, biggest torment. And then he went on to say, وَلَا تَدَابَرُوا. تَدَابَرُوا comes from the root word of dubur, meaning don't show your back to your spouse, husband or wife, either case. What does that mean? In other words, don't stay upset and angry from your spouse for too long. Thodi baat chalo theek hai chal jaati, 2-3 ghante, 4 ghante. Lekin 24 hours, I would say maximum 24 hours. Considering our iman, because our iman is nowhere compared to sahaba. Because Rasulullah said, for sahaba he said 3 days, and that is maximum. He didn't say, okay, keep going till 3 days, and keep self-evaluating. Is it okay now? Is it okay? No. He said, that's maximum. Minimum is what? 1 hour. How? Because you take the percentage wise, 1% of anything, you come out to that. So that is why he said, that وَلَا تَدَابَرُوا, meaning don't be upset and negligent from your wife or husband, either case, for too long. Shaitan, this is how Shaitan plays. Ji, aapki na kar jayegi, aapke saath mein biwi se maafi maangenge. And remember, what did we say last Friday? Last Friday we said that the one who asks maafi, forgiveness, uski izzat buland ho jati hai. That person, their status and rank is very high from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What's wrong with asking? I'm sorry. Lekin Shaitan is polluting the mind. Hey, if you are the first to say sorry, you will be sorry for the rest of your life. That's all that. And this is one of those, yeh whisper aate hai. I mean, you know, we all are husbands, we have seen that. Kisi ne kisi kabhi kabhi to aaya hoga. Mujhe bhi aaya, I'm telling you. But you learn from the wisdom of Rasulullah that you say to Shaitan, no, get lost. Sometimes if a bad friend is influencing you, you tell them, you say, get lost. I don't want to be influenced by you. So tell Shaitan, get lost. Which is, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ In Surah Araf, Allah says, and when Shaitan, you know, corrupts you and puts nazar in your mind, brain, say, فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ سَعَذَا means أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. The next thing he said, وَلَا وَكُونَ عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانَا and be brothers one another, المسلم أخو المسلم, a Muslim is a brother and a Muslim. It's true that people think in a husband-wife relationship, I'm not a brother or sister. But the prophetic wisdom is teaching that if you can be brothers of other people who are not related to you, the one that is related to you is only care, you should be more worried about that. To develop the bondship. What does brotherhood mean? Link, bondship, alaqa, irtibat. So that is what Rasulullah says, I'm saying, that a husband and wife are bonds people of each other. Their hearts are linked together. And how can they link their heart? Because we all say, yeah, we have to be brother and sister. We have to be close to each other. Our husband and wife also say, yeah, we have to be close. We have to be close to each other as husband and wife. We have to be bonded together. But did we ever think how to bond each other? Did you ever think, how can I bond as a husband to my wife? Did you ever think as a wife, how can I bond to my husband? Is bonding only through money, through good words? Or there are some other ways that Rasulullah has told us how to bond. Yes, in this hadith he's telling us at least 3 things that you can save a bond that is already joined. Because the bond is started from the day the nikah started. When the Qazi Salim said or pronounced the nikah and you said, I do, Haji, yes, Haji, Haji, Haji. Bond started. Now there are ways to solidify this bond, yes, which we'll talk about the do's. And there are ways to protect and safeguard this bond, the don'ts in the marriage. What is Rasulullah saying? لا يظلمه. Don't do dhulm on your spouse. Don't you dare even think about oppressing your spouse. And when I use the word spouse, it means both, husband and wife. It's not always, stereotypically, people think husband always done oppression to the wife. But with all due respect to my sister sitting here, and all the sisters in Islam in the world, there are many cases where the wife is doing more dhulm in that context, you see, and makes corruption. So we have to be not biased, we have to be neutral and equal. Give everyone their due right. If there are husbands that are very, oppressive and erroneous behavior, then there are also wives. Because you have to go to a mechanic for a car. But for human dancing, painting, And that is what Rasulullah is saying. La yadhlimuhu. They don't oppress one another. And what does that? What does oppression mean? Dhulm. Ta'rif of dhulm. The definition of dhulm that the Rasulullah said is la yu'ti haqqahu. Not giving someone their due right. Let me give you an example. This topi. What is the haqq of this topi? What is the ihtiram of this topi? To be on the head. If you see someone putting this topi on their prayer, on their duty, astaghfirullah azim la halul, right away your brain says, hey, he is doing something wrong. Why? Who told you? Did somebody have to come and advise you and tell you? No, your inner nafs, your own soul told you, this person is not giving the haqq, the ihtiram that the topi is supposed to be there. This is what we mean by dhulm. A person is doing dhulm to the topi. Because the topi is supposed to be on the head. You put it on the foot, you are depriving the thing from its due right. And that's why Allah was in the Quran. إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. The worst dhulm is shirk. Why? You're not giving Allah the majestic honor that He deserves. The one and only. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. We say this so many times in a day. But do we ever understand what Allahu Akbar really means? Allah the greatest. Meaning the highest. The most buland. The most highest maqam. So if I disrespect the qanun of Allah, I'm as if implying, Na'uz billah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for this moment, I don't want to follow your qanun. I don't respect your qanun. And we don't respect the qanun of Allah, you're not respecting Allah. And that is a form of shirk. And that's why he says, إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. Shirk is the biggest of zulm from all of humanity on earth. And that is what Rasulullah is saying, is that a Muslim is a brother of another Muslim. He does not do oppression to another Muslim. Meaning a Muslim sister should not do oppression to another Muslim sister. A Muslim brother should not do oppression to another Muslim brother. And likewise, in a husband-wife relationship, a Muslim should not oppress each other. I mean, if Rasulullah is saying, don't oppress your Muslim brother or sister in Islam, what to talk about the one you're spending your whole life together with? Why do dhulm? And why is the dhulm? Not giving their due right. And we don't have time to talk about this. This is a whole chapter in its own. Imam Nawawi in his book has written a whole chapter on what is the haqq of the wife and what is the haqq of the husband. And how does dhulm occur? How does the wife do dhulm to the husband? And how does the husband do dhulm to the wife? If we go into that now, it's going to be Fajr time. I know you can't wait till then now. So we go to the next one. وَلَا يَخْذُلْهُ خَذَلْ. Don't insult one another. Many of the marriages that ended in divorce, you go ask them, oh, he didn't respect me, she didn't respect me. There's no respect. So we come to the common cause and we see also, as Islam said, if we only listen to this hadith and this word and pay attention, but if I'm respected, and respect goes both ways, brothers and sisters, don't only say, oh, I'm the macho man, I'm the Amir, I'm somebody of the house. I have to only give respect. I don't have to give respect. You want to know how Rasulullah gave respect to his wives? Look at Rasulullah. Very famous incident. But just want to show you how much respect he gave to his wife. The one time, I think I mentioned this last time, but let me gather, flashback. One time, he brought a dish with him into the house, Hujra of Rasulullah, of his house. And Aisha was there. And she found out that this is from another wife of Rasulullah. So that, that envy, jealousy came in, and it's human nature, but Rasulullah is doing terribly of his wife. And she was the youngest of the wife. In the personality of Sayyidina Aisha, Allah through the Prophet's personal life is teaching us a very big wisdom. how to mentor, as husbands, how to mentor and nourish and nurture a wife. We never pay attention to that. We just get into a marriage and we think that everything's such a spiky pagangle, everything's ready made. No! You gotta really grill and grind yourself, mashakkat, mehnat, to build a marriage. Brothers and sisters, marriages are not built overnight. Marriages are built through exertion of sweat, perspiration, hard work, blood, khun ke ghor pine karte, to build a marriage. It's not that easy. They don't just come out of the blue. Or some angels when I come, it's okay, these two will join. You have to strive. And one of the things he strived, when she saw it, she dropped it. She didn't throw it, she just dropped it. Now how many of us, if we see our wives drop it in birth and die and birth, and then you know all the words, you know better than me what the word is going to come out. And the last word probably is going to be a curse. Gali. Subhanallah. Don't we listen to this incident of Rasulullah? What did he do in this? When he saw, and by the way, that dish was sarid. I already mentioned you, sarid was like, for us, biryani, pulao. Anybody, sarid for the Arab dish is like the highest elite class. Anybody precious, very, very valuable dish. That was dropped. It's like a broth of soup of lentils mixed with meat and thick broth. Very, very. In fact, that's the same word Rasulullah used to define the father of Aisha. He said that, فَضْلُ عَيْشَ عَلَى سَائِرِ النِّسَاءَ فَضْلُ ثَلِيلٍ عَلَى سَائِلِ الطَّعَامِ. Rasulullah said that the fadl, the blessing of Aisha, or the respect, dignity of Aisha, over all of the women, is like the blessing or respect of ثَلِيلٍ, the ta'am ثَلِيلٍ, over all dishes, all food. He used the same word. And here, what did he say? غَارَتْ أُمُّكُمْ. Your mother has become jealous, envious. He did not scold her, scream, yell at her, tell her things. All he said to Aisha, oh Aisha, you have done it wrong, now you have to pay for it. Give her or make this dish exactly as it is. What a beautiful way to tell the person you have done something wrong, correct it. The message is across. Why do we have to get outrageous in our behavior and manners that no, this is the only way we can relay the point across. Is anger the only answer to relaying and getting the message across to the other individual? Both sides, husband and wife, both ways. Because shaitan is always there looking for opportunities to disrupt the marriage life. Shaitan is always hunting, you know, like go hunting and fishing. When you're hunting, you're looking for something, right? You're just gonna say, oh gee, shikar ko liya le, pakad le. That hunter is there successful. Hunter always has to look for something. Shaitan is hunting, give me one opportunity, husband and wife, and I'll just try to separate you. And one of the opportunities Shaitan looks for is that could pollute the mind with whispers that you have to do this way, then she will get it right. You have to do it this way, and then he'll get her the message. Let them have the message. One of the slogans whispers Shaitan. But here Rasulullah is saying, لَا يَخْضُوهُ. You don't insult one another. Many times we are engaged in spousal insults. Daily insults. This is verbal abuse. This is a physical abuse in marriage. But physical abuse does not have long-lasting effects as much as verbal abuses. Or tu to se, or tu se, or tu se, tu to not. I mean, people. I mean, what is Rasulullah saying? Do not insult. One of the first insults that begins is coming down, stooping down to such a low level. Tu to not. Tu. And that's how it begins. What rather he's saying, respectfully let the point across. When you insult one another, you're not building a bridge, you're not building a bond. Rather, the bond that was initiated on the day of Nikah is now being shattered slowly and slowly. Every day the bond is getting a beating, hammer after hammer. Ek pukhta se pukhta bhi divar hogi, sakht se sakht divar. Uske baad roz hatha maar denge, aaj nahi to kal zarur girega. Maybe it takes a year, maybe it takes 10 years. Why do you see marriages end in divorce after 10 years, 15 years? They didn't just overnight become jealous of each other or enemy of any other. It was building. And nobody came to the rescue. No good people came to give advice, to stop, procure, or preserve a marriage. But the beating kept going and going. Shaitan keep hammering. And this is one of the ways that Rasulullah is saying in this hadith, that do not insult one another. وَلَا يَحْكُرُوا. Do not downgrade. Do not ridicule one another. See, why did Rasulullah say these two words back to back? Khadal is an way of insult. Insult is of a lesser degree, insult is of a bigger degree than ridiculing or downgrading, lowering the value of something. Because it starts off with tahqir. And that's what Rasulullah said, لَا تَحْقِرَنَّ. don't you ever belittle your spouse, husband, wife. Don't think that they're very low or very little. Oh, ye to gharib ghrane se aayi hai, oh, ye to bada gharib ghrane se aaya hai, isko kya pata, oh, ye to jahil hai, this is shaitan talking to your mind, not you. This is shaitan trying to diminish the love and respect for your spouse in your heart and mind by making you think on the negative aspects. To kya agar wo gharib ghrane se aaya hai ya aayi hai? Why should I think about that? This is taqeer, hikarat. And also, as the son is saying, don't be hikarat. Hikarat ki nazar se kabhi ek dusre ko na dekhe. Warna aapke liye sirf maut aur maut aur maut. That's it. Because the day any husband or wife begins to look hakir into the eyes of the other opposite individual, that is the beginning of the death of the marriage. Because you can't save it. Because the very foundation, the platform, zameen zar fez nahi hai. Zameen banjar ho gayi hai. From the basic. And that's what also said. Remember again, to recap, three things. He said, la yazun, don't oppress one another in marriage, don't insult one another in marriage, and don't belittle one another in a marriage. In other words, insult and ridicule starts later. It begins with starting with the belittling of something, lowering the status, unnecessarily picking out the deficiencies of another and making that the subject and topic of line of attack to each other. And then the Prophet said, he said, taqwa is here in the heart, taqwa is here in the heart. Why? We understand this with another hadith of Rasulullah. Inna Allah la yanzuru ila suwarikum wa awwalikum, walakin yanzuru ila qulubikum wa a'malikum. Rasulullah is saying in this hadith, Allah certainly indeed does not look at your suwar, at your pictures, at your personality, at your body figure, line, length, whatever you want to call it. Nor does he look at your amwal, at your wealth, how wealthy you are, how rich you are. Walakin yanzur, but Allah does certainly see ila qulubikum, to your hearts. Wa a'malikum, and your actions, a'mal, deeds. In a husband-wife relationship, this is the biggest thing Allah is looking at. Whose heart is corrupt? Who is at fault? Comes later. What comes first is, who has a corrupt, malice, malign heart, a malfunctioning heart? Because if there's a malfunctioning heart, that problem has to be solved first. When people come for counseling, and we said this last time, last Friday also, the husband and wife should not feel shy or embarrassed to come for counseling. They can go to any imam, any religious person, and talk to them and say, can you help us out? Can you listen to us? Because sometimes, just expressing, just letting your heart out, letting your sinah, your chest out, and explaining in front of a neutral person, unbiased mediator, it helps soothe the nerves a lot. Because the blood is boiling, the things, emotions are building, and it's bubbling in the house. Let those two individuals come and sit in front of a person. And let them talk with that individual mediator, so that then he can deal with them and say, look, Quran says this, Hadith says this, Quran says this, and this. And also, when he will listen, every good imam who wants to save a marriage, he will listen to this Hadith of Islam and say, whose heart is more corrupt? Let me start with that individual. Because to solve a problem, you go to the root of it, jump in it. So if you go to the jump in it, you will definitely help you in your shahoh. But if you just go try, oh, this branch is not good, cut off this branch. आप सिर्फ अगर शाखे काटना शुरू कर देंगे कि भाई इस बगीचे को खूबसूरत बनाना है, जड़ को भूल जाओ, सिर्फ शाखों को देख लो, जो खराब शाखों को काट दो, मैरिज बच जाएगी, बगीचा बच जाएगा. नहीं, बगीचे में अगर जंग लग गया, अगर जरासीम लग गए, तो उसके जड़ पे जाए उस बगीचे को बचाने पे. शाखे तो बाद में भी बच सकती. I'm talking this an example way for those of you who don't understand Urdu is, in a garden you don't go cut the branches off the bushes around, you do polishing. So let me just make this garden good. There are some bad branches here, let me cut it off. No. You go to the root. Why are these branches going bad? What's going on here? You go to the root, oh, you see there's a germ, there's something wrong, pesticide. So you go to the root of the problem, and you correct the root. So that if you correct the root tonight, today, then tomorrow no further branches will go bad. And then later on, most of the people who are trying to save a marriage, they go in just polishing, cutting off the branches. Don't focus on the root. But also understand this, Hadith is saying, the root of every marriage that is going to turbulent times is heart. Tarbiyah, tazkiyah of the heart is essential. And that is why whenever the couples would come to Rasulullah, he would always advise the husband and wife about steps, a'mal, that would make tazkiyah to nafs, islah al-nafs. He would give each individual, do this step 1, 2, 3. Why? Because not necessarily you can see from those steps, it will make some overnight change in the marriage, but it will change the heart, the soul of the person, so that tomorrow they'll begin to think, what am I doing in my marriage? And that is what also at the same is saying here. It's another thing about the issue of what we said that in terms of rifq. Rasulullah said over here in a very beautiful hadith, من حرم الرفق حرم الخير أو من يحرم الرفق يحرم الخير. In another hadith he said, يا عائشة أو عائشة إن الله رفيق يحب الرفق ويأتي على الرفق ما لا يأتي على الأنف وما لا يأتي على سواه. Rasulullah is saying that, oh Aisha, إِنَّ اللَّهَ رَفِيقٌ. Allah is very kind and gentle. Very, very gentle, meaning dealing people with delicateness. وَيُعْتِي عَلَى الرِّفْقِ مَا لَا يُعْتِي عَلَى الْأُنْفِ. And Allah blesses someone, gives them barakah, increase, manyfold, in their man, in their a'mal, in their children, in their life. Allah blesses really, truly their life in every dimension, in every aspect or criterion that you can think of, if they have rifq with one another, gentleness, politeness with one another, healthy. This is why now we go into the do's. Okay, just in case if you, I know we're running out of time, so we gotta hurry here. We covered so far all the don'ts. Now we go into the do's for those of you who are writing. What are the do's in a marriage? What are we supposed to do? So here the first thing I'm saying is that in Allah rafiq, you have the rifq. Allah is rafiq and He loves rafaqa, rifq. So in other words, He's saying that husband and wife should be rafiq of one another, should practice rifq with one another, meaning they should do gentleness, politeness, humility and understanding. They should do actively, delicately dealing with one another. And if you really want to see how Rasulullah was so rafiq, so much gentle his wife, we all listen to that surah, Surah Tahreem. We some of us memorize that surah, Surah Tahreem. What does the word Tahreem mean? Come from the word haram, literal word haram. Tahreem means to forbid something. And look how beautifully Allah did tell me of His Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, because of His extreme gentle nature with His wives. If you go to the Asbab of Nuzul of that surah, you will know that it was about a very famous incident that happened between Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi and his wives. And Allah revealed this surah right there and then. Ya ayyuha nabiyyu lima tuharrimu ma ahalla Allahu lak tabtaghi mardata azwajik. O Rasulullah, ya, O Prophet, ya Yun Nabi, lima, why do you tuharrim, forbid, make something haram, lima tuharrim, ma ahalla Allahu lak, what Allah has made halal for you, tabtaghi, do you desire, Rasulullah, mardata azwajik, the pleasure of your wives, the satisfaction, acceptance of your wives? Now obviously, Rasulullah is not being a sin, astaghfirullah, he's ma'asum, he's innocent. But what is Allah SWT saying? Allah is saying what happened was, he does not have the authority to make something haram. He did not make something haram. Although some people, they have a misconception. When they read this ayah, they say, oh, especially the Orientalists, the non-Muslims, they attack Allah, us, on this ayah. No, Allah stopped your Prophet from making something haram. You have to understand the background and everything. You can't just take things out of context, out of the blue and face value. No, Rasulullah in his whole life, he never made anything haram except what Allah asked him to make haram. Over here, the word, as on a lot of tafsir, Imam Qurtubi, Imam Razi, many of the tafsir ulama have said, the word tuharim over here means tamna. Why do you stop yourself from engaging something that is halal? And the story was about honey, asal. You know, we say honey, honey, honey. We used to use that word. So it was about the word of the asal. In other words, some fuqaha, some muhaddithin are the opinion there was Maria Qubtiya, Maria the Coptic wife of Rasulullah, and some say Zainab bin Jahsh. Well, Rasulullah used to always go, you know that Rasulullah used to have time, you know, waqt banda, tonight this house, tomorrow this, to next day this. Each of this, his wives had appointed time with him. So whenever the time for Zainab bin Jahsh would come, and he would spend the night with them, she would present to them, every wife of Rasulullah would present, when he would come to their house, you know, to spend that day with them, she would present them something. Whenever he would come to Zainab bin Jahsh, or as some narrators have said, Maria Qubtiya, she would present to them honey, asad, which is very sweet, very delicious, and very aroma, fragrance, such that even when you finish eating the honey, the fragrance will last for a day or two even. And that is where the problem started. Because when he would finish, you know, the next day he would go to the next wife, the aroma would still come from his mouth. He would talk to his wife. And the wives that were in question in this ayah, in this surah, be a very beautiful incident. You really get amazed how Allah is doing tanbiyah. This is the beauty of our sunnah and ulum al-hadith, I would say. Whenever he go to who? Dono khalifon ki betiyon ke paas. This was a very grand honor for Rasulullah that he was the son-in-law of two of his close compatriots. Umar ibn Khattab and Abu Bakr. Those two stalwart sahaba who would give their life for Rasulullah, and their daughters were also wives of Rasulullah, or unhone jo shokhiyan, you can say, or unhone jo apni biwi hone ke nate jo maza kiya hai, in the sense of sometimes maybe their fathers as a sahabi could not transcend that boundary. That, like that famous incident, remember, in the Waqiatul Ifk, that Aisha retired, she asked her father, Abu Bakr, that you talk to Rasulullah about this incident, people are making tuhuma on me, doctor. You know what Abu Bakr said? Aisha, how can you expect your father to talk to Rasulullah? He's Rasul. I mean, look at the modesty, haya of Abu Bakr. Isn't he father of his daughter? Isn't he the son and the father-in-law, so to speak, of Rasulullah? But look at his haya and taqwa, intaha darjah. He said, no. Our rather, you know, she said something to the effect that our rather died than to speak on your behalf, Rasulullah. Then she turned to the mother, Umm Rumayyah, can you? Oh, no. But their wives had something that they could do, because obviously that's a wife. And Allah is teaching us a lesson that, look, because of these young wives, we learned many of the sunnah traditions and treasures from the deen. So when he would come to, when the body, when the turn would come to Hafsa bint Umar or Aisha bint Abi Bakr, and he would talk with them, they would smell the aroma. They'll ask, what is this? And he would say, oh, I ate honey yesterday from this such and such wife. So what happened, as just to cut a long story short, these two got together, Hafsa and Aisha, being young wife. And we gotta solve this, I mean, so to speak, as the muhaddithin narrate in the incident, is that we gotta solve this thing. So they both together made up this issue that, okay, next time when Prophet ﷺ will come to you in your turn, we both will say to him, oh, there's a bad breath coming to you, from you. In order to deprive him from that, we should not look at this incident from a negative perspective. We should learn from the positive that Allah is making tarbiyah for us. That is very human nature. They're not angels, these are also human beings. And Allah Mother is teaching us a lesson that, look, this should not happen in our houses also. So when the actual thing happened, the next time he came to Aisha, she said the same thing. When next time he came to Hafsa, she said the same thing. So when one wife said it, second wife said it, Rasulullah said, really bad breath coming? And he would say, I only ate honey, asal. And I think honey gives a good aroma, fragrance to the leaf. So okay, I will not eat it. It is risk. Look how gentle he was to his wives. He did not make a big issue out of it. How many of us are willing to do what Rasulullah did for his wife? To be so gentle down to them. Okay, honey, you don't want me to eat honey? I will not eat honey. But then Allah came down. Because even the inner sunnah, inner lifestyle of Rasulullah could have a negative repercussion on people. Maybe people tomorrow will stop eating honey. Asal. Shahid. Oh, because Rasulullah said, okay, from this day onwards, I will not eat it. He made it for himself. It is a zati. Zati namaniyat ki thi. He did not say, okay, from tomorrow honey is haram. No. He said, okay, if you wives don't like it, I will not eat. The reason I'm showing this example is from his rift, how gentle he was, how delicate he was in dealing with his rapport, relationship with the Rasulullah, and how violent we are. Kisi aur ko blame me. I'm not saying that every husband is bad, but I'm saying that there are so many violent husbands out there in this Muslim ummah that they forget about this incident. There's a surah in the Quran, Surah Tahrim, about it. So what did Allah want to say? He immediately revealed the ayah down. Ya ayyuhan nabi, lima tuharrimu ma halallahu lak. O Prophet, why are you forbidding yourself from eating that honey when honey is halal in Islam? It's okay. And Allah wanted to make tarbiyah of his Prophet so that tomorrow the munafiqeen in Medina don't say, okay, your Prophet said honey is haram, he has forbidden. See, people can take wrong things out of it. So Allah wanted to mentor, nurture, nourish his Prophet and teach that, look, even on your personal zaat par aapne parmaya itni aisi cheez, because people might learn something wrong out of it. And so then immediately Allah Rasulullah corrected himself and he talked to those people, and that's why Allah warning came to those wives that you too should make tawbah from Allah and from yourself. Why did you conspire together? I mean, conspiracy is a big word to use, but I'm saying, why did you get together to come up with this idea? And Allah exposed. And then when Rasulullah told them, they asked Rasulullah, who told you about this? SubhanAllah, Allah said in the ayah, Allah said in that same ayah that the one who told you has told them, the one who you don't, if you know Allah, Allah is there, he told them. Abdullah ibn Abbas, he says that I went with the Hajj once with Umar ibn Khattab, and I wanted to find out, this is another narration that talks about the same incident, and look at Abdullah ibn Abbas. The reason I'm bringing this second narration is to show you the father, Umar ibn Khattab. And he said that Umar ibn Khattab had hajjah, he went to the desert, he did hajjah, he came back, he was making wudu. While he was making wudu, I said to Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, during his khilafah time, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, who are those two women that Allah mentioned in the Quran, Surah Tahreem? Who are those two wives? Umar ibn Khattab came down hard about his wife, I mean about his daughter. He said, don't you know, one of them was mine. He was feeling regretful that my daughter is mentioned in the Quran. And there are 13 junctions in the Quran where Allah revealed the wahi in response to what Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. You know that very well. It's in the Sunnah and Seerah, our Seerah. There are many different places. Umar ibn Khattab said, I wish an ayah comes like this, and the next day or the next moment an ayah revealed down. And that is why one of the sayings of Rasulullah is that if there was to be a prophet after me, Umar ibn Khattab would have been a prophet. And there's another narration that he said that Abu Bakr would have been. In both junctions, that how close they were to Rasulullah's heart and qalb and iman and taqwa. And in this ayah also, in Surah Tahreem, the ayah number 5, I think, or 4, was in, he said this in this junction. He said, Abdullah ibn Abbas, when I was there one day and I saw all the wives gathered of Rasulullah together, and I entered, I saw that, I said, what, kya majra, kya laga, kya dama, what's going on? What's this hujum? And you're talking to Rasulullah, and how are you talking to Rasulullah? He expressed that. And then in his heart, he said, that asa rabbukum in tallaqunna yubdulakum, like Allah, he said that something that maybe perhaps Allah will give permission to Rasulullah to give talaq to you, and then Allah will replace better wives than you. That same ayah came, that same feeling came in the form of an ayah in that surah. The feeling of Umar ibn Khattab. Umar ibn Khattab said that from his own earnest desire of that, of his love for Rasulullah, and how much love he had, that even managing this incident to his Sahabi Abdullah ibn Abbas, he felt sorry that my daughter, who is a wife of Rasulullah, was part of this whole incident. And he didn't feel good about it. As a father, alright, the reason I bring this point up to finish out today is because abhi tak aaj hi zyada thi to bachi khatam kar lenge, subhanallah, waqt mein barkat hi khatam ho gayi, ye bhi kehwat ki nishani hai. Because back in those days, people, the khutaba ulama, would sit for half an hour and accomplish a lot. Unfortunately, today we can't even get so much. Time is running so faster, which tells us one thing, that Quran is coming closer and closer. You prepare something that today in 1 hour we finish this topic, you can't. You only get half of it. But I want to finish this tonight, in continuation to next Friday. We'll pick up from here, because of one thing that happens a lot in a marriage relationship: fathers and mothers interjecting. Unnecessarily, unknowingly interject. Beti, ye karo. Beti, usse ye sabak sikhao. Beta, theek chala na son. Beta, se talaq de do. Aisi bahu ka kya karna? Aur dekho, aur fulan sahabi ne unhone apne bete se kaha. Subhanallah. You'd be amazed how many divorces are happening because poor chap, he says, oh, ye meri amma ne kaha tha. Arey, oh, bekoof insan. Teri maa koi naaz bila khuda nahi hai. Nahi, nahi, aapne nahi padha. Allah ta'ala Quran ne kaha, unki jo hai na, wo itaat karo. Itaat in what? In ma'roof, not munkar. No, I will not give my jannah. Jannah unki tarah to nahi hoga. Unhone kaha talaq do, maine dena, mujhe apni jannat aziz hai, begum aziz nahi. Subhanallah, you are sacrificing your wife. That's why I always say, yani auraton ko mashallah taala ne badi Allah taala ne asani faram ki, because an aurat is just an aurat. She is either a mother or she is either a wife, biwi. Unfortunately, we are both. हम बेटे भी हैं और खाविंद भी हैं. हमें दोनों जगल करना. माँ की भी इताअत बहुत जरूरी है, क्योंकि नबी सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम ने औरत से ये नहीं कहा कि शादी के बाद अपने माँ बाप की इताअत फौक कर दो, इताअत करो मियां के ऊपर। नहीं, अल्लाह ताला ने बेटी को कहा कि तुम अब बहू बन चुकी, तुम अब एक बीवी बन चुकी, यू आर नाउ ए डॉटर इन लॉ, यू आर नाउ ए वाइफ फॉर दोस पीपल डिवर्स एंड वाइफ। सो नाउ योर इताअत, योर जन्नत इज इन द रिज़ा ऑफ योर हस्बैंड। दिस इज दैट्स व्हाट वी से जन्नत इन द सेंस दैट इफ यू ओबे योर हस्बैंड यू विल हैव जन्नत। Why? Because why did he diminish that? To let go some of the power, influence, impact. I'm not criticizing any father or mother here, but I'm saying if you are a father and mother of a daughter, then please, for Allah's sake, for Allah Kawasta, do not corrupt, don't destroy your own beti's house. And if the beti comes to you, what should you do? Tell her, it's your house, your home, you do whatever you want to do. You forgot that incident that baby Fatima, she came to the Rasulullah sallam? Abbaji, Abbaji, aaj to no joke ho gayi. Kisse? Rasulullah sallam ke cousin se. The fourth Khalifa to be, Ali Karamullahu Waju, the title that he got, Asadullah. So what did Rasulullah sallam, he did? He said, okay, I will talk to Ali. How did he? No. He said, Fatima, baby, go back to your house. Your coming like this without the permission of your husband is not mujhe gawara. कौन कह रहा है? सैयदुल कौनैन, सैयदुल मुरसलीन, खातिमुल अंबिया, रसूलुल्लाह सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम, हु इज टीचिंग अस अ मोटिवेशनल लेसन, हाउ टू सेव अ मैरिज। वेयर आर दोज फादर्स एंड मदर्स हु आर करप्टिंग देयर ओन चिल्ड्रंस मैरिज? सो मेनी टाइम्स दैट द इग्नोरेंस, एंड ऑलवेज हमेशा बुरी बनती है माँ यूजली, बट दैट्स नॉट द केस समटाइम्स। आई एम सॉरी, यू हैव टू गिव एवरीथिंग इक्वालिटी। समटाइम्स इट इज द नॉट द मदर ऑफ द Bibi or the daughter all the time. It is the mother of the son also. But she would say, as a saas, bolga rishta ta mein pata hai, to azal se leke abad tak chali aa rahi. But there's a way to solve that issue. There's a way to itne sare sawal bhunchal de denge to main mar jaunga. So the issue was there that the mother has the right on her son, but she should also understand that she has to be jawabdeh, accountable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What did you tell your son to do? How did you influence your son to ridicule your wife, to beat your wife, to mistreat your wife, to insult your wife, to deprive your wife of her huquq, to deprive of your wife of your sohbah? Some mother say, ki ji, beta teri shaadi hogi, lekin tu mere pallu se laga rahe, tu mere god mein baitha rahe. I'm 34 year old kid, for God's sake, give him a break, man, for God's sake. Bachcha to nahi raha ho, amma ji. With all due respect and ehtiram, I have a mother too. She told us, what is the thing? There's a way. See, shadi bhai ke maane, in marital relationship, it's all about handling, juggling, how to juggle the relationships, and how to not do wrong in any relationship. The wife should not, you know, corrupt the mind of the husband that force him to do wrong to her to his parents. That Ami Abu, I don't want to listen to you, mother, father, I don't want to listen to you. My wife is my, that's it, she's my jannah, she's my bliss. You married me off, now forget about you. No, extremes are not allowed in Islam, both ways. And in the two examples of Abu Bakr as a father in law of Rasulullah and Umar ibn Khattab as father in law of Rasulullah, we are learning example that they are telling us a big lesson. Yes, unki lakht jigar, yes, their own daughter, their own flesh was there in the house of Rasulullah, and even if they had some problem, they would come to their father. Father would say, get out of my sight, go there, how dare you think that your father can come in between your relationship and your husband relationship, even though that the husband is a profitable one. And by the same token, Rasulullah is teaching his own daughter that, Bibi, you should not have left your husband's house unknowingly without informing him, even if he had some problem. You have to deal with the issue, go deep. And the thing is, how do we as parents, if I am the father of a daughter, I have to build my daughter's house, not to destroy the house. Baby, yes, you did right. Baby, yes. That damad of mine, I'm sick and tired of it. Well, excuse me, by the way, you're the one who chose that damad. I am to blame. If I chose that damad, I should have known that son-in-law that I chose, how it's going to be. Now I have to help my own daughter and my own son-in-law to build this house of love and friendship so it can continue. Not to influence their brain, not to put whispers in their mind, not to call them up every 1 hour like some, I mean, with all due respect, no mother should think that I'm criticizing any one individual, but it happens, and I'm saying the pitfalls. What are the pitfalls in the marriage? That the mothers of the wives will call every hour an hour, What happened? What's new? What's next? Oh, this happened. When the mother influenced so much, unfortunately, sorry to say, regretfully, the wife begins to function as a daughter only, not as a wife. She is to run mouth for that. Her brain shuts off. She will only listen what mommy said. Okay, mommy, do this. And the husband is going to come. She could have saved the marriage, saved her husband, but she did not because she was too influenced by the mother. Likewise, same way for the son. He was too much influenced by the mother. Because the mother is blackmailed. Your jannah is in my foot, so you got to listen to my mouth, not the foot. So you gotta do what I tell you to do. And then the husband, who is the son, he thinks that, oh, Allah is telling me a big thing, what should I do? And I finish tonight with this famous incident of ita'at, obedience. See, Allah told all of us, you have to obey your parents. Yes, no doubt about that. Every husband and wife has to obey their parents and their parents-in-law. Not that all. They're your parents. I don't do anything about it. Why should I do that? Oh, if you do it, you get sadaqah, by the way. It is true. It is true that the dardabana, sardabana, you know, pressing the legs, pressing the heads, khidmat, khatir, these things for the parents is for the son or for the daughter for them. But if vice versa happens, if the son-in-law does it for their parents-in-law, he is going to get ajr sadaqah, sadaqah jariyah. And if the daughter-in-law does it for her sas and sasu, her parents-in-law, she's going to get sadaqah also. Because the incumbent duty is on the children, immediate children. Unfortunately, we have a misconception in Pakistani culture, but shadi ho gaya hai, now apne parents ko bhul jao, you got to think about my parents only. And same thing with the mothers and the fathers. Oh, beta, you got to be always in front of me. Don't move from here. Because so what if we marry you? Don't let your wife take away, snatch you away from us. Hum se chheen na le. There is no concept of chinna or snatching. It's all about how to juggle with relationship. And Rasulullah is saying, give every relationship their due right, haq. Give the haq to parents, mother and father. Give the haq to wife. Give the haq to son, to daughter, to parents-in-law. That is haq. Our parents-in-law have a haq upon us. And look in this story of this sahabi who went on jihad, on battle. Before he left and he was taking his provision, he told his wife, until I come back from the jihad, from the expedition, don't leave my house. That's all. And he didn't say in a bad way, hey, khabardar jo is chaar diwari se kadam maar kar tang todunga, tang hi todunga. No, he didn't do that. He's a sahabi, companion of Rasulullah. And in this story, in this incident, we have a big moral lesson to learn. For those of us who don't understand the Urdu part, there's no translation for that slogan, but the thing is, I'll translate for you because I know that the other people who didn't say Urdu, they didn't laugh. Only the Urdu people laughed. Toh ye zyadti ho gayi, samjhana chahiye tha ki wo bhi maza aaye unko. What I'm saying is that many husbands, they give a very, you know, Brother Ahmed, many husbands, they tell their wives, you dare step out of this house without my permission, I'll break your legs. That is the saying in Urdu, and that's why people started laughing about it. But here, this sahabi said, only requested politely, humbly, with humility, with khushu. See, khushu and with tawadu, you can accomplish everything from your spouse. But with harami and, you know, jumra and all that, you will not even get a pie, you know, pie, cheesecake pie. Woh bhi nahi milta. Unko se nahi. Woh milta hai, deh maar ke. And here, Rasulullah is teaching us a lesson. He went, and now what happened? Her father got sick. Salah, meaning the brother-in-law came. Then, sister, our father said, go. But she said, I can't go. My husband told me, don't leave the house. Well, until I come back. This is the condition only. That's all condition he put. But he said, what are you going to do? Father is sick. He's the, you know, doctor, whatever the case is. Like they say, I feel that. Like today, if the father is in the hospital, you got to go and see. But the husband is away. He's on a journey. He's not at work or something. You can call him. And they don't call over there in the jihad. Hello? Yes, I need the permission from you. Wait a second. I'm killing this person with a sword. Wait a second. No, it's not happening over there. So you have to basically deal with the issue at front, on the face value. She said, look at this wife, subhanAllah. This is the Zawjatul Salih. This is the pious wife that Rasulullah described in the hadith. She said, let me ask Rasulullah. If he tells me I can go to my father, then I have a permission. Because Rasulullah is a prophet of Allah, he's above my husband. At least in Hudba, of course, there's no doubt about that. So she sent a messenger to the Masjid Nabawi, and she got the reply. Rasulullah, he met the person. He said, this imra'ah, this lady is asking such and such question. What should I give her the answer? Rasulullah looked at the prophetic way of teaching. He said, in the obedience of her husband, she has, is the ridha of Allah, is the pleasure of Allah. He didn't say, yeah, go visit or take some time off or try to get to that battleground and find out. No. He said, in the obedience of her husband is the ridha of Allah. You want, if that wife was the ridha of Allah, the pleasure, satisfaction of Allah, the one and only, the sovereign, the king of kings, she has to follow. What a beautiful statement to say. He does say, yes, go. No, don't go. Left the choice on the individual. What do we learn from this? If I am a father of a daughter, I should give the advice to my daughter, but I say, baby, end result lies in your hand. You decide what you gotta do. Don't think, oh, father told me, let me go do it. Beautiful teaching. And for us, fathers of daughters, big lesson to learn. There's no harm in giving the similar advice. Give your best advice to your daughter or son, whatever the case may be. But don't influence or impact the decision-making process. They are grown up, for God's sake, now. They're in their 20s, 30s. Give them, empower them in decision-making process. Don't let them heart pakad ke na chalaye abhi tak unko unki shaadiyon mein ke do this, do that. You know, don't hold their fingers and walk them through the marriage. Give them your advice and leave it at that. Let them decide. So that they should have some responsibility. Otherwise they'll say, oh, I just did what my father told me to do. I just did what my mother told me to do. I'm not to blame. Allah, catch my father. Allah is not going to catch your father. Allah is going to catch you. I gave you Atan. I gave you Zahin. Now, a few weeks passed. That same brother came back. Sister, your father has passed away. Intiqalu. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Now she's crying, weeping. Go, you're going to go now. Janaza, we have to go. Kis baby ne din nahi chahte apne baap ki janaza mein aa jaye. We're just coming from a janaza in Kina today. One of my own students, very sad day for me today. One of my students in Ghazali, her father, 43 years old, just passed away this morning. He was off from work. Nahana, namaz jumaz ke liye. Little did he know that he's washing himself for his own janaz. He's about to come for salah to the masjid. I feel a chest pain. Ask his wife, can you take me to the hospital? And she said, no, let me call the ambulance. No, look at the wisdom. He said, no, if you call ambulance, people will get, you know, scared, all that. Just drive me there. I can bear that much chest pain. Then he went there. The doctors received him in the emergency room. They said, okay, wear this uniform of the, you know, patient uniform. He put it on. He was conscious. Everything fine. Just complaining chest pain. And the doctor said, okay, now lie down on this stretcher. The moment he lied on the stretcher, eyes closed. As the eyewitness account of people. 20 doctors and nurses and he came to resuscitate CPR, save her soul! But the waqt was muqarrar from upstairs. They tried their best. For 1 hour they kept resuscitating. But he had a massive heart attack, which was so subtle that the ruh went instantly. Sometimes you have heart attack, ruh tarparai, I mean it's moving, shaking. But the doctor said that this person was so cool as a cucumber that we didn't even feel any jerking. These are some alamat of a mu'min's maut. That Rasulullah said, when the moment soul is taken, it's taken so smoothly that the people around them and even the person does not feel that much pain. Yes, there is something. And then we had to be, this happened in Jummah, before Jummah and in Asr we were there and we saw the body. There was so much smile on this because they were prepared to make ghusl for the janaz. But I had to leave because I have a commitment here to come. But when I saw this person's face and I saw the sabr on the family, on the daughter, today, four daughters became yatim. Their father left this dunya. And not big daughters, young daughters, 7th grade, 8th grade, 9th grade, young daughters, chodi bachiyan. And they went. But they had sabr. And the wife dealing the whole issue as a strong male. How many wives would wail and tear apart clothes and things? But anyway, those daughters, when I saw them at the funeral, saw them at the maqam, I realized, look how. And I remember this incident of Rasulullah. She again sent, she said, no, look at the taqwa of this woman, this wife and a daughter who has become yatim. She said to her brother, let me ask Rasulullah again. He said, again? Last time I asked him, he said, you in the obedience of the husband is fine. There, in mouth, there is no question to ask. He said, no. Whatever Rasulullah will say, I will do that. This is taqwa iman. That's why Rasulullah said in the hadith that the best comfort is a zawjatu salih. The best comfort of dunya is a pious wife if she obeys, if she has taqwa. And here's the taqwa in the action format. She sent again the messenger of Rasulullah, and Rasulullah heard it. And he said, Inna lillahi wa ajoon, and made dua for the person who deceased, by the way. And then he asked, what should I tell her, Rasulullah? Again, he repeated the same statement, exact, verbatim, ditto. Are you telling me that Rasulullah is telling her not to go to the funeral? No. He's only teaching a lesson. He's saying, in the obedience of her husband is the ridha of Allah. So he came back, you know, with remorse and, you know, obviously a sad face. That this is what Rasulullah said. She said, okay, bye, you know, brother, go back. You take care of tajeen and everything. I will just make dua from this house because I have to follow Rasulullah. How many wives today will say, I have to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah? Not follow their husband, but follow the sunnah of Rasulullah. Because if they will follow the sunnah of Rasulullah, automatically they will follow their husband. So, to cut a long story short, then the narrative says that that person came back from jihad, of course, after the expedition, many weeks or months later. And obviously when he came home, he put his things, luggage down. Then he thought, okay, khabirni, tell me, what is the news, what happened in my absence? She said, a very drastic thing happened. My father passed away. He began to cry. Son-in-law! And maybe the thing that son-in-law are really bade wo to zalim hote hain, bade kya Dracula hote hain, wo betiyon ko jo hai wo jallad ki tarah band ke rakh kar rakhte hain aur maaon se baap se milne nahi dete. He began to cry. Why did you go? No, I didn't go. Why didn't you go? Husband is surprised, astonished, stunned. Why didn't you go to your father's funeral? She said, because you told me that don't leave this house until I come back. Now you're back, now I can go. वो सर पकड़ के बैठ गए साहब. ओह हो, ये क्या संसद हो गया, बस ये क्या गजब हो गया. He began to warn, said, oh, what happened from my, I just said a statement in earnest, me and Ikhlas, that look, don't leave the house until I come back. But I didn't mean that if there's such a exception, drastic situation, you could have gone. You know, he was ready, he was rida, radi, in her going. And now he's feeling guilt, nadamat. Case in point to all those husbands in this dunya, Muslim husbands. There's a lesson in the personality of this husband. He's having nadama, guilty, that because of my statement, a daughter who became a teen could not attend the funeral of her father. And how many jallad husbands exist in the ummah of Muhammad today who still, knowing this, would not allow their daughters to go to the funeral? No, 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 main tere family ko sabak sikhana ke tere funeral pe woh kabhi nahi jayegi. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. Is this from the Sunnah of Rasulullah? Are we going to stoop down to such a low level? Ghin aati hai aise khawindon se. Jo itne gir jayenge, itne ghaleez ho jayenge, ke khawindonon ko sabak sikhayenge, main tumhare khawindon ke mait mein jaane nahi dunga. And here is a sahabi who apne ko kos raha hai. Ki mere se kya jumla sarsad ho gaya, ki ek beti mehroom ho gayi apne baap ki shafqat se, pyar se, aur janaze se. فوراً وہیں پہ چھوڑا ہر چیز بھاگے رسول صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم روتے ہوئے رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم میں لٹ گیا میں برباد ہو گیا رسول صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم I am destroyed, I am destructed. وہ تو نہیں اس کی تو غلطی نہیں اس نے ایک جملہ کہا اسے کیا پتا تھا کہ پیچھے میں کسی کے انتقالوں میں لیکن اس کی ندامت کو دیکھیں اس کے اخلاق کو دیکھیں او خاوندہ جاگو کو جاگو سن لو سنت کی یہ خوشبو کو جو کہ فضا برپا تھی صحابہ کے زندگیوں میں. He went, he said, Rasulullah, something very bad. And Rasulullah knew who he is, because he knows that his wife had asked him twice. He knows the whole story. Lekin look at Rasulullah. He didn't, idhar nahi hone diya. He didn't, because the wife did not even tell the husband that I asked Rasulullah. He thought that, okay, she just said that abhi wo bolti mazid, wo to pehle apni rona dona nadamat mein wo wahin se bhaga. کہ میں رسول صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم سے کیا کیا منہ دکھاؤں کیا بات کروں گا تو رسول صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم but he did not know that she had asked. He was thinking کہ وہ she went on his decision. So he told him what happened. رسول صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم said what happened. He said like this and this. He said go and tell your wife, subhanallah, this is a chilling statement from the prophetic teaching of رسول صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. He smiled at that husband and that sahabi and he said, go and tell your wife that I see her father in Jannah in this dunya. Away! Because of her daughter that she followed you. Sahabi got zameen, pehle bade zameen lekin, what? Really? This is good news. Mere sasur jannat mein? What? What are you talking about? Yes. Because you don't know, but I know what's going on. I'm a prophet of Allah. And I know what should happen because of the taqwa, iman of your wife. You should be thankful for your wife that she did not attend the funeral of her father, but she apne father ko jannat mein pahuncha diya. Dunya mein baithe baithe. Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. Takbir. How many daughters are there in this dunya willing to send their fathers in Jannah just by the rida of their husband? And here lies the motto of the incident. Rasulullah then explained to him, you know why your father-in-law is in Jannah? Because I told your wife, in the obedience of you, you the husband, is the rida of Allah. And Allah was testing every individual in this. Allah was testing the husband also. The husband is surkhuru, husband is successful too. Because he had nadamat, remorse, guilt, that my father-in-law went away and I could not let my wife go because of my statement. So Allah is examining, testing every single individual. And alhamdulillah, everybody is packed. How many of us, husband, wife, can guarantee our fathers and mothers? We have father and mother, don't we? Yes. How many of us will learn some lesson from this incident? The Rasulullah is giving Bashara good news, glad tidings, in the dunya alive, that go and tell your wife the good news that her father is in Jannah. Go and tell her mother that her husband who has passed away is in Jannah. Why? Because her daughter who was nurtured on tarbiyah, on the sunnah of Islam, sunnah Rasulullah, has fulfilled the sunnah, and Allah is giving this great reward in a tashtari, golden silver plate. This is your reward. But then if we don't listen to this incident and we go our way, we go use our anger and our nafrat and our enmity and jealousy and act and behave the way that we're not supposed to, how will Allah enter our fathers and mothers in Jannah? JazakAllah khair for your patience and your extreme patience for listening so long. I apologize for being too late.